Welcome in Senator Mike Jacobson. How you doing, Mike?
Great. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Glad to have you along. And let's talk recent developments down in the legislature. What's the headline from this past week?
Headline is we finished up committee hearings last Friday. The Judiciary Committee always has the honor of being the last committee to finish up. They get more bills than any other committee to review. So anything that has to do with penalties, that gets automatically sent to the Judiciary Committee.
And
so they've been doing some late night hearings, and they always go the full period of time. I would say that banking, commerce, and insurance, we used all of our hearing days and had some long days there towards the end. And I would, although the revenue committee, I am the vice chair of revenue, and we did the last 2 days that were allocated for us, we did not need to meet. So got a little bit of a reprieve there. A few of the committees never, they have a lot of days to burn. They just don't get that many bills to hear.
Any update on your ag data privacy bill?
Yes. So we did vote it out of committee, 8-0. It has been submitted to the speaker. I have spoken with him, told him that we're ready to go and would like to get it scheduled as soon as possible. I expect that it will be scheduled this week for general file hearing, and with the governor's request for the bill, I expect that he will give some additional priority to it.
You would hope so.
Yes, and so I feel good about getting it passed here before the session's over.
Yeah, it's always nice to have the governor on board and
helping
it go forward.
That always helps. That's true.
That little tap from the governor kind of gets your attention a little bit more and helps it rise.
Yes.
The top on that. I was going to ask you about 1165, and this is the tax incentive measure.
Yes.
That was introduced by Senator Hardin, I believe.
It's Von Gillern.
Von Gillern. I've got it mixed up with the other one, but it says that there were, you had a hearing last week on that one. 11 speakers, largely representing chambers of commerce and cities, testified in favor of this bill. And introduced by Omaha State Senator Brad Von Gillern on behalf of the governor, and no one spoke in opposition. But this does affect us out in western Nebraska because of the railroad, right?
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. In other words, I think the fact that so many chambers of commerce came in and spoke in favor, I think indicates the big picture thinking of what this bill can do.
Mm-hmm.
This bill really, frankly, is designed for the Union Pacific Railroad. As you know, they're working on the merger, and the other railroad is headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
And they had just recently built a new headquarters building for them in Atlanta. So with the merger, UP has announced that they plan to keep the headquarters in Omaha. And then obviously they would be wanting to move executives from Atlanta to Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
So this bill is an incentive bill that's really designed, and they did work with UP on this because you can imagine they've gotten enormous pressure from the governor of Georgia to get them to move their entire headquarters to Georgia.
No doubt.
And what they're looking at is as many as 500 key jobs moving to Nebraska from Georgia. And we're talking, these are all jobs that pay more than $100,000 a year and have great benefits. Now, I've often said that people are concerned about how do we fix the tax problem. And the biggest concern is we need to generate enough growth in revenue every year to offset inflation if we want to provide the same services that we have today.
Right.
So as much as people talk about cutting our way to prosperity, certainly we do need to make cuts, but you're never going to cut your way to prosperity any more than you're going to tax your way to prosperity. What we need to do is get more people living in the state that are paying taxes or I don't care, they can live outside the state and pay taxes. But we need more bodies paying taxes at the existing rates or lower rates. And by doing that, we're gonna grow revenues and be able to do the things we want to do. So when you look at creating jobs, particularly jobs that pay over $100,000 a year, mm-hmm. that's significant income tax revenue that's going to come from those individuals. They're going to buy homes that are going to pay property taxes. They're going to buy goods and services, which are going to pay sales yep. taxes. So that's always been a winning formula. So what do we need to do to create the right incentives? So the way this works is we would be providing incentives back to UP with the guarantee they have to first produce the jobs. So if they produce the jobs that are going to produce the revenues, we're mm-hmm. essentially giving them part of those revenues back as an incentive.
Kind of pay for performance type.
Bingo. Thought, and that's right? that's key mm-hmm. to this. I think that mm-hmm. Senator Von Gilleran was very clear in his opening testimony that this is not a pie in the sky. This is not a corporate bailout. This is none of those things. Mm-hmm. This is providing incentives. If you do this, we'll do this. Mm-hmm. And they've got to do their part first. And the jobs have to be long-term jobs. If those jobs would come in and then they would leave 2 years from now or 3 years from now, there would be clawbacks. They would owe us back what we gave them in incentives. Mm-hmm. But we're still only giving them part of the money back of which they produce. So mm-hmm. in my mind, that's how you do incentives. That's how you do it right. I think everyone sees that if the old adage of a rising tide lifts all boats, that's what the other chambers of commerce are seeing. When you have the mayor of Lincoln who's out calling Lincoln senators, telling them, I want you to vote for this because this will help Lincoln, this will help the entire state, even though the jobs will be located in Omaha. So I'm excited about it. Of course, the UP officials had visited with me and mm-hmm. shared with me the importance, and we continue to look at the fact that they are hiring a job fair here in North Platte. They're planning to increase their numbers here in North Platte, and they're keeping yep. me posted on that as well. So we've long had a good partnership with UP over the years in terms of job creation, but this will be very big. I mean, we're fortunate that UP is headquartered here. The Burlington, as you know, that's owned by Warren Buffett or Berkshire Hathaway, is not headquartered in Nebraska, but UP is and has mm-hmm. been for a long time. And so I think that when people look at our state income tax rate, why is that so important? Why are we so mm-hmm. focused on keeping that low or bringing it down? We've been the highest and continue right now to be the highest in the region. And when you're dealing with South Dakota that has a zero state income right. tax, how do you get companies to attract companies and individuals, high net worth, high income individuals, to locate in your state and to stay here when they can save on state income tax by moving elsewhere? Sure. And UP has stayed here regardless of us having a fairly high income tax. We're moving at income tax. We're going to get down to about 3.99 in 2027. That's leaving part of the budget hole that's out there as well, I might add. But if you don't do that, companies like UP, HDR, which is the largest consultant, one of the largest consulting firms in the country, they could change their headquarters from Omaha to Texas or yeah. somewhere else and just do it with a stroke of a pen. So it's very important that we be cognizant of that. And there's always ongoing conversation as to how they're feeling about the tax climate. One of the big benefits we have in Nebraska is that we do have folks that live here that have a great work ethic. And contrary to what some people say, Nebraska is a great place to live. I think any of us that live here, believe that we have people that are commonsensical, that are common thinking people. You read about the crazies, But that's not the majority.
No.
And so I'm proud of living here in Nebraska. I think people see that. And we just need to make sure that our tax climate fits it as well.
Well, and we've had in recent years ConAgra in Omaha go away. The Cabela's out of Sydney was highly publicized when they closed that down. And then, of course, getting a lot of attention recently was the Tyson plant in Lexington and closing that 3,200 employee place down. So, I mean, you can't control all these things, but all we can do is try to make it more favorable for businesses, large employer businesses, to move into the state, right?
And that's exactly right. And I guess if you go back and you look at Cabela's, okay, Bass Pro came in, bought Cabela's. They were headquartered in Missouri.
Yep.
So they just absorbed them, and the headquarters is in Missouri, not in Sydney.
Right.
You know, what the state of Missouri or state of Georgia is doing right now with UP is the smaller company was absorbed by a larger one. So let's go to the state where the larger one is and say, you need to move your headquarters down here. Now, it's going to be an uphill battle for them to do that. But if we do nothing, that could very well happen.
Mm.
So this is very much, we're being very proactive in trying to stave this off. I think we engaged in conversations to begin with the state to find out exactly what it's going to take to secure them as a long-term future here.
Mm-hmm.
And do it in such a way that it costs the state nothing. This is all upside. And anyone who really studies the bill and really gets their arms around the bill, look at the numbers, this is a win-win.
So this article says, according to a fiscal analysis, the Nebraska Department of Revenue estimates the proposal would create an $8.7 million loss to the state's general fund in the 26-27 cycle and $4.58 million loss the following year.
Yeah, and I think there's some initial pieces, that startups that go with that. Senator Von Giller and I had a discussion about that at the hearing, that it's just a timing in when those tax flows come through. But on an accrual basis, there's no cost to us at all. It all comes out. In other words, we will pay them out of pocket some incentives before we actually get the tax collections from the people that are moving here.
Okay. So, yeah, and it's just a thing where you're saying, you know, the initial outlay dips into the budget, but then we'll get it back from the taxes.
The outlay is going to come after they have made the hires and have the people moving.
I mean,
here.
They have to commit to, you
know, they're
bringing
committed
people
to moving it, yes,
that will pay the taxes.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And so there's a short time lag simply from the time that they move here and start paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
very much. Okay, well, you explained that well. And another thing that I saw here, another article that got my attention was about the state tourism.
Yes.
The independent state tourism agency, apparently mis-messaging, and there's a bill introduced by Senator Brian Hardin of Gearing, and he wants the Nebraska Tourism Commission to no longer be an independent agency, but folded into the Nebraska Department of Economic Development. And I know you had a part in that because it went before your committee. So tell us kind of particulars of that and,
well, sure.
And where that stands.
Well, you know how to get my blood pressure up, don't you?
Well,
it
did quote you.
Yeah,
right here,
I know.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I would tell you that 2 years ago, this became an issue, and I think everyone remembers that the previous director of the Nebraska Tourism Council, they had approved the slogan, you know, Nebraska, frankly, it's not for everyone.
Honestly, it's not for
everyone. Yeah, honestly, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
So
I always thought that was a bit weird when they announced
that.
That
was like, very weird.
How do you think that's going to attract people, you know, when you're telling people ahead of time that it's not for everyone?
Well,
you know?
That kind of went back at the time when you had all of these weird... if you recall, there a lot of the marketing firms were saying kind of weird stuff to get your attention.
Uh-huh.
It's just that I don't know that anybody in Nebraska looked at that and said, yeah, this is what we want to embrace. Compare that to Nebraska, the good life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, although many would argue that it had success, in other words, it piqued people's curiosity, it at the same time is one that really sticks in the minds of so many people as being a horrible campaign. And many in the legislature were very upset about it. And so 2 years ago, there was a bill brought to merge the agencies. My concern with that is if you look at the tourism, Nebraska tourism began in 2012. The mm-hmm. tourism was handled by DED prior to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were not getting very good performance. They were, I think one of the problems with tourism is you put it in DED, you've got other priorities, and tourism, I think, took a back seat.
Yep.
And so there was a sense in the legislature that we needed to have an independent agency that's made up of regions across the state, have their own director, have their own regional people that are mm-hmm. going to input, and understand that the funding for tourism comes from your hotel occupation taxes. So when you consider that you have all these hoteliers across the state who are collecting occupation taxes, sending it to Lincoln to fund the tourism, and that a lot of that money comes back out to rural Nebraska.
Yeah.
And I would tell you that a big part of tourism was what was happening before. The focus was primarily Lincoln and Omaha, and they really weren't focusing out west. And we all know, living out west, that we have a lot of things that people should and would come and visit. And you look yep. at a lot of the sites today that people would not have known about had it not been for an independent tourism board. So I was probably the strongest voice 2 years ago that came out against it, argued that we need to keep it independent, that I didn't overemphasize that this was going to hurt Western Nebraska if you took it away, but that was my main driving concern.
Right.
I also think that you have hoteliers that are involved on the board today,
mm-hmm.
and I think those who are collecting the tax and paying it in ought to have a say on what kind of campaigns we have and who should be running it. So for those reasons, I staunchly defended the tourism board. So the compromise 2 years ago was that we would continue to run it as an independent agency, non-code agency, but an independent agency. But they would bring two additional board members on, one from the state chamber and one from DED. And the one from DED is the DED director. Well, currently the DED director is Maureen Larson. She was just mm-hmm. recently appointed as the permanent director. She actually mm-hmm. came to the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee for confirmation. We've had a confirmation hearing. Frankly, not everyone on the committee is thrilled with Maureen's background. She's a very bright attorney, but really lacks any experience in economic development. And so we've drug our feet in kicking mm-hmm. her confirmation out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, she feels like that it's time to bring tourism underneath DED as well. So I've spoken with the tourism folks that run tourism. And when we kind of forced this marriage a couple years ago with board member from DED and mm-hmm. and from the state chamber, we've learned that they're not necessarily embracing that. I think it's clear that DED didn't want the new structure to work. So if you don't attend meetings and you don't embrace any ideas that are brought, you're probably going to fail. And so I think what's being pointed to is, well, this last 2 years haven't really been fruitful, and they need to hire a new director. They did the old director who brought the disastrous campaign is gone. And but even though the DED was partially standing in the way of hiring a new director. So I said, look, I'm willing to hold a public hearing this summer where everyone can come in, give this their input on mm-hmm. how they think it should be organized. But to change it now would be a mistake. And what they would do is sweep all of the funds that are in the tourism fund, sweep it to DED. Well, we wouldn't even have any assurances that that money would be spent on tourism. So
basically, you're saying take all the money that was allotted to tourism and add it to DED's budget, basically.
Right. And the money that's allotted to tourism was funded through the occupation tax because of tourism.
Yeah.
Okay. So, needless to say, I've been the thorn in the side of not moving it forward.
So you want them to remain separate?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I would also say that to the tourism board, you've got to perform, okay? Mm-hmm. You can't be lackadaisical about what we do. Now, there were some mm-hmm. good points made that DED is responsible for recruiting new businesses to Nebraska. Tourism is responsible for attracting visitors to Nebraska. There are some synergies between the two, and there are some differences between the two. I know my conversations with Maureen Larson was, well, what do you think they're doing wrong? And she said, well, you've got all those golf courses out in your district, and they're really not doing much to promote those from a tourism standpoint. And I said, well, you do realize that those are all privately held courses, and they have a long waiting list of people to become members.
Yeah, they get people that have a lot of money in their bank accounts to fly in and play these courses.
That's right. And they're invited in by members.
That's
And so to go out in a tourism campaign and say, come to Nebraska, drive by the Sand Hills Golf Course, and you can't
play it unless you're invited by a member.
Exactly, basically. You can't play it, but you can drive by and look at it.
Yeah,
maybe, okay, but you probably, if too many of you come and show up, they'll probably keep you from looking at it. So,
probably.
I don't know how that helps with tourism. I think that the Passport program is a good example mm-hmm. of some very successful program that, frankly, not only did it bring in people from out of state, mm-hmm. but people living in state, it's been hugely important. People from Lincoln and Omaha that are traveling out west and seeing sights, seeing real Nebraska, what I like to call real Nebraska. And again, I think that part of this is a turf war, and I'm standing in the middle of the turf war, and I'm hoping to get that calmed down and let's all work together.
So have you talked to Senator Hardin about why he thinks it would be better to put the tourism, lump it back with DED?
He was contacted by Maureen Larson mm-hmm. to do it. And we all get leaned on from time to time from different agency heads.
Sure.
He's kind of drank the Kool-Aid a little bit. But he and I have visited individually about kind of what we should do, and he said, Mike, he said, let me tell you, I'm not gonna fall on my sword on this one. So he understood that originally this was targeted to have a hearing before the government a committee, and I sit on the executive board and the referencing committee. I got it re-referenced to Banking, Commerce, and Insurance because DED is overseen by Banking, Commerce, and Insurance. Yeah. And so the hearing got referenced to my committee, and so consequently I control the fate of the bill. Hence, its hearing was near the last day of hearings, and and I don't plan on executing on the bill. So he knew that once it was coming to banking that it came there to die. And that was my intention from the beginning.
And you've offered an alternative.
I've offered an alternative. I've assured him that if we have the interim study and we haven't, and the tourism board has not moved the needle, I will bring the bill. I will co-sponsor the bill with you. But until that time, let's don't just merge it back because on paper it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason we separated it before. I'm very concerned about what happens mm-hmm. with rural Nebraska if we merge it.
So, and as part of that thought, because of the tax revenue generated has gone up substantially in the last 15 years or so, this article says that the Travel Association points out that tax revenue generated by visitors has grown from $187 million in 2010, when it was under DED at the time, to $323 million in 2024.
Right.
But isn't a lot of that just natural inflation of cost and stuff?
Some of it is, although you keep in mind that you've mm-hmm. still got to get people that are going to stay overnight in a hotel in Nebraska.
Right.
And so whether you build additional hotels, more room nights, the dollars, that really is the litmus test for measuring success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do across the states. And the percentage of growth in Nebraska is really, they espouse that at the hearing that said, you know, we've mm-hmm. done pretty well compared to neighboring states.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason that we should be concerned that what we're doing doesn't work.
Yeah, I think for us out here, it's just a question of what's best. Is it better to have an independent tourism agency not lumped in with DED to get us more revenue and people wanting to come to Western Nebraska and highlight the features that we have?
Or well, give me
is it better to go back under DED? And I guess that's the thing you're dealing with.
So. Well, and I would tell you that David Fudge, who currently is the president of the tourism, state tourism, so he would just, he's been in that role fairly short
period
of time. I'll
ask David about that when I have him in next time. He's coming in once a month to talk about the Planning Commission. I can maybe add that on sometime.
Well, I helped get him appointed originally, and now he's the president of the association.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have the president of the association that lives in the heart of West Central Nebraska, you probably have put yourself in a pretty good position to benefit from it. And that's
probably
what I see, too.
Probably. Anything else you want to mention?
I think that's it. It's we've got, I will tell you, we've got 24 days left.
Yep.
So I'm no longer counting up, I'm counting down. We're going to probably devote about 10 days to the budget, which I might add, the forecasting board did meet the other day, and they increased the deficit by another $175 million. Which,
so we're over $600 million deficit now?
Or they've already significantly reduced it. They were at the point to where it was nearly, but the $471 was nearly balanced.
Okay.
And we were expecting another $100 million shortfall, which we felt comfortable we could still get to. It ended up $175. So we're going to have to dip into the rainy day fund to some extent to balance it. I did visit with Senator Clements on Friday. I said I needed to tell me out loud that you're not touching Perkins County Canal Fund. He said, no, we're taking
good.
The interest but not the principal.
Good.
He gets it that we can't be sending – we have to send a message to Colorado that we're serious. And taking money out of that fund isn't a way to show that we're serious.
Right. Yeah.
So between that and the prison fund, which I think many – on the left were that was the first place to look to balance the budget. We're not touching either of those. I also reiterated to him that the Veterans Service Fund needs to be left alone. That is a high priority for me.
Yep.
I think you think about what's going on right now in Iran, and we had some people killed there.
Yep.
Our military is critically important. Our veterans need our support. Any moves that we make to take away from that support is on us.
I agree.
I told him we should look anywhere we have to look besides the Veterans Service Fund to balance the budget.
Yep.
And otherwise, I look at Perkins County Canal, the prison fund. They need to be left untouched because both those projects are going forward. So I will tell you, a lot of priority bills will not get heard. And frankly, that's not all bad, because some of these priority bills aren't really good bills.
Shouldn't be priorities.
That's right. They shouldn't be priorities.
They should be buried.
So.
And disappear.
That's right.
All right. If people like to get a hold of you, they email you or call
Absolutely.
Your office.
They can call the office at area code 402-471-2729 and M. Jacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov. And Christina will be happy to take your phone call, we're continuing to. Now's the time when I need your input. I mean, we're going to be working on bills. You're going to be moving fairly quickly. We pretty well are zeroing in on what bills will get heard. And so, if you've got input, let us know, and you can make a difference.
Okay. Thank you, Mike Jacobson, District 42 State Senator, our guest this morning. Thank you, sir. Happy travels this week, and thank you for fighting for us out here in Western Nebraska.
Heading to Ogallala, they're going to announce the new path of the canal here at 10 o'clock today.
Yes, so. Big meeting. All right. Well, you enjoy my hometown there.
I will. Okay? Thank you.
All right.